Are you perfect? I'm not asking about your spouse. Are you perfect? Is it possible for human beings to be perfect? I hear amens. What would you say if somebody asks you, can you be sinless before Jesus comes? I was 17 years of age. Long time ago, of course. And in Yugoslavia, in high school, when the weather was nice, most of the time we would play soccer outside. So, one spring day, we went to the stadium of the second division of a soccer team in our town, and we played soccer. Well, towards the end of the first half, the professional players were coming for their training. And they were standing in a group, kind of warming up themselves and watching us, how we kids play. And they had all kinds of jokes to say about our way of playing soccer. Well, when the half was over, all of a sudden, out of the group of those professional players, one of them started coming towards me. And when he came close enough for me to realize who that is, I almost fainted. It was a goalie of the Yugoslavian national team for over 14 years. He was a goalie who played in the team of Europe when Europe played against South America or Africa. And he was very famous. When they played against South America, he caught the penalty. The player comes and kicks from 11 meters, and he caught it, and Europe won. This man, whose picture I saw in newspapers, no one ever had any doubt that he knew what soccer is and what goalie means to, what goalie does. He comes to me and says, what's your name? I said, Miroslav. He says, give me that ball. I gave him a ball. He took it and he started throwing at me to see my reflexes. And I was catching the ball. He says, go to the goal. So I went and I stood there and he started kicking to me. Left, right, stronger, different ways. And I would catch the ball. He says, all right, penalty now. He puts the ball and he says, I want you to fly. Now, I immediately remember the pictures from the newspaper where he would go for the ball like this. He would fly out and catch the ball and then fall and have the ball for himself. I said to myself, all right, now this is my opportunity. The other players were watching. The other friends were awestruck. And hey, here is Kish speaking with Vladimir Beara was his name. And I didn't know where I was and what was happening to me. This was incredible. This man paying so much attention to me. So he says, all right, fly. And it's going to go in that direction. Get it. So he kicks it. And I never did it before or ever after, thank God. Because I flew like he did, and I didn't jump as strong and as fast as I should have, so I couldn't catch the ball. I just pushed it away from the goal. And I fell on my side, on my ribs. And he said, ouch, Miroslav, not like this. No, he says, that's good. I like your reflexes, but he says, you will need your ribs for the rest of your life. So he says, don't get rid of them now. He says, look what you do. Take the ball, kick it to me. So I took the ball, but my knees were like water, you know, as Bible says. Here I am kicking the ball to Vladimir Beara. I mean, no one has, my pastor didn't have that opportunity. So I tried to kick to him, but that was nothing for him. He calls one of the professionals and says, "Stretch me." So the professional comes and he kicks. And that man, just for me, flies to the corner, gets the ball, turns his head like this, the other hand brings us close to him, the ball, and falls on his elbows and his knees. He says, "You must jump like a cat, otherwise you will lose your ribs." It was time for us to play the second half. So we played the second half. He says, "Would you mind if I watch you?" The stress, having this man now watch me make my mistakes. But he wasn't. The other people were kind of laughing and telling me what I should do. He said nothing. He just watched me. When it was over, he came. He put his hand on my shoulder and says, "Miroslav, give me 1 year. I guarantee you, you will make it in 1 year at least to the second division soccer teams." He says, "You have it." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "You can be outstanding goalie." I said, "Well, what do you mean? I'm not tall like you." He says, "You don't need to be tall. I watched you." He says, "You have a very, very unique gift of reading feet." Now I said, "What do you mean reading feet?" Well, he says, when the player wants to kick, the way he puts his position, his foot, determines how the ball is going to go and in what direction. And you were able to read every single one. You didn't catch everyone, but you were where you were supposed to be. And he says, "This is a natural talent." And he says, "Give me 1 year. I will tell you what to eat, what to drink, no alcohol, and no smoking." I wanted to tell him good morning. And he says, "No heavy food and no women." Also, I wanted to say to him good morning. And he says, "And I guarantee you in 1 year." Now, if my mother would tell me, "Oh, Miroslav, you are outstanding goalie," you know what I would say to her? "Mom, kitchen." Or if my pastor would say, "You know, you have something in your blood. You are capable to be excellent goalie. In 1 year, just come and I will train you." I will tell him, "Prepare your sermon, pastor." But when Vladimir Beara watches me for 2 hours, comes to me and say, "You can be an outstanding goalie," that is different story, my friends. Vladimir Beara knows what goalie is. Vladimir Beara knows what it takes to catch the ball. He watched me. He looked at my muscles. He says, "We will have to build some of this flesh here so that it's a little bit stronger than this." But he says, "You give me 1 year, live the lifestyle that I'm going to prescribe, and I guarantee you in 2 years, you will be the goalie." Now imagine God, how he feels. And Dr. Jonker reads Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Of course, I didn't go. I was Seventh-day Adventist already, and I did not go into soccer. I still think I'm good goalie, but some other people think differently. Because I didn't spend 1 year with Vladimir Beara. Now, here is God. Here is Jesus. The one who created us, who knows us better than Vladimir Beara knew me, comes to us and tells us, "You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect," and we don't believe him. We don't believe him. Can you be perfect like God? Can I see hands? Very few. What's the matter with you others? Is this my mother telling me about being goalie? Is this my pastor telling me about being goalie? Is it me about you being perfect like Father in heaven? Or is it your God telling you to be like him? What is happening with us? theologians for ages have been arguing and trying to explain away this verse, telling us, yeah, we need to be perfect in our sphere as we are. Oh, big deal. I have to be perfect just like I am. No trip to make, no effort, no training. Or we should be perfect, but we cannot be without, we cannot be like God, because God is eternal and He is omnipotent and He knows everything, and we don't, and we are finite, so we cannot be. If we are predestined, maybe, or if we earn enough merits, maybe, or if we pray to Mary, maybe, but we really cannot be like God. So both lay people and theologians and pastors believe Vladimir Beara and do not believe God. And God believes in you, dear friends, this morning. Somebody told me this morning, don't make me cry, I want you to smile when we are done. Because God is telling you this morning something incredible. Incredible. Now, verse 48 is a conclusion of one segment of the Sermon on the Mount. A segment which can be called, it has been told you, but I say unto you. What Jesus is doing, he's talking about the letter of the law and what happens when we take God's will literally. And then he speaks about the spirit of the law. So, for example, in verse 21 of chapter 5, he says, you have heard that it was said to the men of old, you shall not kill, and whoever kills shall be liable to judgment. So, Jesus says, you heard that it was said, thou shalt not kill. So you thought, everything is fine. I can kick that person. I can bite that person. I can hate that person as long as the heart beats and the blood pressure is okay. I'm a Christian. But Jesus says, I know you. I made you. I know what can happen with you. If you give me 1 year, and if you eat what I say, and sleep when I say, and do what I say, I know you, what's in your blood. He says, you are able. Not just not to kill anyone. But if you give your life to me, I'm able to make you so that you don't hate anyone. And you do not insult anyone. In California, I saw something strange. And I heard the story later, what happened. A man owned orchards and fields, and he owned a little plane to use for spraying. But that plane was aging, and the power of the engine was not there anymore, and it was not airworthy anymore, so the man did not want to use it. For a few years, he didn't use it at all. And then he had a brilliant idea. He decided to attach to that plane a trailer on which he put manure, and went out on the field with that plane pulling the trailer with two men distributing manure on the fields. It happens that a pilot, retired pilot, heard of it, came to that man, bought the plane for very little money, spent some money and his expertise, and that plane was flying. What Jesus is saying to his hearers is, you are made to fly, not to pull behind you trailer with manure, spending your life distributing it around. You take my will as the letter of the law, and you are aiming too low, and then you're surprised that you don't hit high. Give me a year, he says. And then he goes to verse 27. He says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. So, everything is okay as long as I don't go to bed with another woman. That's the letter of the law. But I can do everything until the bed. That's the letter of the law. But Jesus says, no. No, 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 no. You, I know you. I know what you can with my help. Adultery doesn't happen in bed, it happens in your head. So he says, but I say unto you, the spirit of the law is that if you look lustfully, you already committed adultery in your heart. And then he continues, verse 37, he's talking about divorce. So he says, you know, it was said to the old that if things don't go well, you write a letter and it's taken care of. Well, this is not as easy as we think it was. To write a letter of divorce, not everybody could. Israelites did not know how to write. So instead of relaxing the law of divorce by the letter, God was tightening the marriage vow. Because the people had to come to the priest or to the Levite who only knew how to write. And probably there was a counseling going on before the divorce could happen. But even then, the letter of the law, and you heard of those stories written in some traditional books of the Jews, which say that one school said, if your wife burns your meal, that's good enough reason to divorce. But Jesus says, no way. That's a trailer full of manure. You are built to fly. You can be more patient with your wife. She can burn 2 times and 3 times and 7 times 7 per day. Now, ladies, don't you do it next week. Why could Vladimir Beara say that? What? Why could Jesus say that? Because he knows us. He knows us. And he knows that divorce is not solution to problems. That mercy, patience, through which love is expressed, is the solution. So rather than asking of us peanuts, little things, insulting us with little challenges. Jesus says, be perfect, not like you are, or like your pastor, or like President Clinton, big deal. Like Father in heaven, be perfect. I know what I am talking about. And instead of being satisfied with little things, be perfect like Father in heaven is perfect. Now, is that possible? Is that possible? When I'm finite, God is infinite. When I'm mortal, God is immortal. When He is sinless, I'm sinful. When I'm weak, He is powerful. How can I be like Him? How can I be perfect like Him? Have you ever seen anybody perfect? When you look to mirror, do you see somebody perfect? So what's the point? You try hard, you're in trouble. You try hard to be perfect, you're in trouble. I remember a young lady, beautiful young lady, came to Collonges, same year that I went and my wife. And she was a good friend of Brenda's. And I remember her coming in the morning to cafeteria and says, Miroslav, today I am not going to sin. I said, Marsha, what do you mean? I decided this morning I'm fasting and I'm going to pray every 10 minutes. And I'm not going to sin. And we knew already, if she's smiling at 9 o'clock, that meant she didn't sin until 9. Or if she's sad at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, then we just need to encourage her and talk to her about forgiveness and so on. Sincere person, intelligent person, had a beautiful soprano, played violin very nicely. Beautiful young lady. So badly wanted to be perfect like Father in heaven. She read that verse to us many times. 3 years after we left Cologne, after she left Cologne, she was there only 1 year. 3 years later, her sister informed my wife that Marcia committed suicide. Left a letter saying, I committed sin against the Holy Spirit. I cannot be perfect. I tried and I cannot be perfect. So, I have seen others who say, well, since we cannot be perfect, I tried it hard and it cannot be, I'm just going to walk around and whatever happens, happens. I don't care what I do. And that is not good either. So what is good? Well, what is good, dear friends, what is good is that it is not that I must trust myself to be perfect, but I must trust God when He speaks. That it is not whether I believe in myself, but that I realize that God believes in me like Vladimir Beara believed in me. That question of perfection is not my business. It's God's business if I give Him a year. Not literally, of course. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, that the one who begun will finish. It's His business. And you know what our problem is? Our problem, one of our problems is that we are realists. And you cannot be Christian and be realist. Well, we must be realists up to a certain point. My youngest sister, always, and I love to go to my grandma and grandpa, because there was enough bread and there was dried fruit and we could eat any time we wanted. So whenever summer came and we would go in a train, about 5 stations in a train to grandma and grandpa, we were all excited. Well, one time, my 3 years younger sister was maybe about 4 or 5. We went in the train, we sat down and my mother next to us, all of a sudden my sister starts crying. And we say, why are you crying? I want to go to grandma and grandpa. But we are going. No, we are not. But yes, we are. No, we are not. I say, well, what do you mean we are not? Well, look at your bench. Look at my bench. Look at the window. Look at the light. We are all standing still. I said, yeah, but look outside. Look at the tree. Look at the grass. Yeah. She says, the trees are going in opposite direction, but we are not moving. Oh, we would believe Vladimir Beara and we would believe Jesus if at a baptism we would take a picture of our character and we would find 77 sins. And then 10 years later we take another picture of our character and find 67 sins. Minus 10. And we would feel even much better if Brother Weber has 65 sins and I have 63 sins. You know, my sons insulted me one day when I showed them a picture. I was 16 years of age. My eldest sister, my youngest sister, and my nephew, some of you know Dr. Hatchko, he's my nephew, were on picture. And I asked my sons, who do you know on this picture? They said, nobody. I said, what do you mean? Your father is on this picture. No. See? Because you can compare a picture with picture. To me, I didn't change much. You know, just body and some hair replaced and misplaced. And as I said to one boy 2 weekends ago, one little boy in Yugoslavia looks at me and he says, "What did you do with your hair?" I said, "Oh, when you grow older, your forehead grows." So he started picking at his forehead. I said, "No, not yet." Now, you can do that when you compare 2 pictures. But because there are no pictures of character, we do not see the progress. We think, oh, there is no hope for us. It's not possible because God is God and it cannot happen to me. But God will never allow us to invent a picture camera that will take picture of a character. Because if I see that he has still 65 and I have 63, I'm going to come here and I will thank God that I'm not like Brother Weber, who has 65 sin and I have only 63. Then I will sit down and turn my thumbs, wait for him to catch up with me. Is it possible to be perfect? When people ask me that question, I ask them, is anything impossible to God? Well, that's your answer. How? When? How come? It ain't my business. I can use incorrect English. My wife is not here this morning. That's God's business. He knows me. He knows how to do it. He has a track record of doing it. All I need to do is stop worrying about it and stop interfering with my realism. And stop being attached to the past sins. Let Him tell me what to eat, when to go to sleep, and how to relate, and let Him decide the limits of my growth. Ellen White says, there is no limit of usefulness of the one who would give his or her life to God. No limit. We are not condemned to spread manure around this church. We are called to fly. If only we would let God's words affect us and we would shut up. And let Him do it in our lives. Let Him do it. He knows how to do it. He has done it. We will never see it. But He knows what He is doing. Imagine 2 young ladies preparing for exam. They are playing piano. Musicians know, when you play some of those long pieces, that the composers know how to arrange fingering so that very often in one of the measures it is hard to hit the right note. In singing that's possible too. Sometimes you have to make very weird jumps and it's very hard to hit just right note. Well, imagine 2 ladies, they prepare a symphony and they play, and imagine measure number 40. And in that measure number 40, there is a B flat. And the way the fingers go, they miss that B flat. Well, there is the realist. And the realist knows that if she wants to pass the exam, she cannot miss B flat. She must hit it right when it needs to be done. So, what she does, she takes measure 40, and goes over, and goes over, and goes over, and until the birds on the roof can do that measure 40 by themselves. And then she does 39, 40, 41. And it's hard, but she makes it. And then 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, it works. After a while, it works. And then she goes from the beginning, and goes, and goes, and goes, comes to 40, and misses that B flat regularly. The day of exam comes. Her name is called. And the jury is sitting. She goes to piano. And she doesn't see the jury. And she doesn't see the piano. And she doesn't see the bench. And she doesn't see the music. All she sees is a big, huge, humongous B flat. Realists. We think about sins. We eat. We drink. We talk. We discourage ourselves constantly. When Vladimir Behara says, I know what I can do with you. So she starts playing. And she only sees that B flat. Closer she comes to measure 40, the heartbeat comes faster, the blood pressure higher, the temperature higher, the blur comes in the eyes. She somehow finishes the song and she is dismissed. She fell. Because not only B flat, but after B flat, some other things went flat too. There is another one. This one makes the same mistakes. Same B flat in a measure 40. Same thing. So she tries for a while and tries and tries and tries and tries and tries. And then finally she says to herself, hey, listen, this symphony is not composed of B flat. So she starts playing the measures, the 39 measures and the other measures after measure 40. So she learns the music. She understands the mood of music. She starts interpreting it. She starts putting herself into it. And it's beautiful to hear. Then she comes to 40. She makes that mistake, but she goes over it and makes beautiful after. Day of exam comes. Her name is called. She sits at the piano. She starts playing and she says to herself, I will show them how beautiful this piece is. She starts playing. And all those jury members that were dreamy and drowsy and they didn't even have to look for mistakes, all of the sudden perk up. Listen, this is incredible. This young lady understood the composer. At measure 35, the president of jury says, that's enough, young lady, you passed. It is not my achievement. It is His track record. It is not my strength. It is His power. It is not my self-confidence. It is my confidence in Him. It is not that I trust myself, but I am daily amazed that God believes in me.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.